I'm just about to go into the studio to record my latest audiobook. My wife and I have been listening to audiobooks. We've been listening to audiobooks in the car as a family just to keep our kids off screens because Audible is amazing. And Audible is also the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases and next to listen recommendations to satisfy every type of thriller listener. If you want breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that will enthrall you, even brand new and exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, well, then you want to check out Audible. My wife and I were just raving about this true crime audiobook that we read called Furious Hours. And then I've been raving about this book, Night of the Grizzlies, which I loved. Audio piques the imagination and it brings thrillers to life. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. Visit audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. That's audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Stoic. Each weekday, we bring you a meditation inspired by the ancient Stoics, something that can help you live up to those four Stoic virtues of courage, justice, wisdom, and temperance. And here on the weekend, we take a deeper dive into those same topics. We interview Stoic philosophers, we reflect, we prepare, we think deeply about the challenging issues of our time, and we work through this philosophy in a way that's more possible here when we're not rushing to work or to get the kids to school, when we have the time to think, to go for a walk, to sit with our journals, and to prepare for what the future will bring. I've talked a lot about my morning routine here. One of the things I do every morning after I get up is I take a bunch of vitamins that my doctor recommended after some blood tests. I take a vitamin C, a zinc, a omega-3, and I take a couple others who I'm forgetting, but I definitely know whose vitamins I take. And they actually happen to be today's sponsor, and I've been taking them long before Thorne sponsored today's episode. Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with all their supplements, and they've teamed up with leading medical professionals to bring out highly effective nutritional supplements. Because I'm a runner, I'm always trying to take care of my joints. And with Thorne, I never have to question what's in each supplement. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/dailystoic and use code dailystoic for 10% off your order. thorne.fit/dailystoic. Use code dailystoic. And note, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Because of everything that's happening in the world, I thought for today's episode, I would read a section from Stillness that I'm most proud of, that I think is one of the best things I've written, but I don't say that in the sense that I'm trying to lecture you with it. It's something that I felt like I needed to reread, something I wrote as a challenge primarily to myself, but also to you. And I think, you know, it's turned out to be timely, and I think it's worth considering also. So this is actually, I think, the last chapter in the book before the conclusion, and it's just titled Act Bravely. To see people who will notice a need in the world and do something about it, they are my heroes. Fred Rogers. In Camus' final novel, The Fall, his character Clemence is walking alone on a street in Amsterdam when he hears what sounds like a woman falling into the water. He's not totally certain that's what he's heard, but mostly riding the high of a nice evening with his mistress, he does not want to be bothered. And so he continues on. A respected lawyer with a reputation as a person of great virtue in his community, he returns to his normal life the following day and attempts to forget the sound he heard. He continues to represent clients and entertain his friends with persuasive political arguments, as he always has. Yet he begins to feel off. One day, after a triumphant appearance in court arguing for a blind client, Clemence gets the feeling he is being mocked and laughed at by a group of strangers he can't quite locate. Later, approaching a stalled motorist at an intersection, he is unexpectedly insulted and then assaulted. These encounters are unrelated, but they contribute to a weakening of the illusions he has long held about himself. It is not with an epiphany or from a blow to the head that the monstrous truth of what he has done becomes clear. It is a slow, creeping realization that comes to Clemence and suddenly and irrevocably changes his self-perception. That night on the canal, he shrugged off a chance to save someone from committing suicide. This realization is Clemence's undoing and the central focus of the book. Forced to see the hollowness of his pretensions and the shame of his failings, he unravels. He had believed he was a good man, but when the moment, indeed moments, called for goodness, he had slunk off into the night. It's a thought that haunts him incessantly as he walks the street at night. The cry of that woman, the one he ignored so many years before, never ceases to torment him. It toys with him too, because his only hope of redemption is that he might hear it again in real life and then seize the opportunity to dive in and save someone from death. It's too late. He has failed. He will never be at peace again. The story is fictional, of course, but a deeply incisive one, written not coincidentally in the aftermath of the incredible moral failings of Europe in the Second World War. Camus' message to the reader pierces us like the scream of the woman in his memory. High-minded thoughts and inner work are one thing, but all that matters is what you do. The health of our spiritual ideals depends on what we do with our bodies in moments of truth. It is worth comparing the agony and torture of Clemence with a more recent example from another French philosopher, Annie Dufour-Mendel, who died in 2017, aged 53, rushing into the surf to save two drowning children who were not her own. In her writing, Annie had spoken often of risk, saying it was impossible to live life without risk, and that, in fact, life is risk. It is in the presence of danger, she once said in an interview, that we are gifted with a strong incentive for action, dedication, and surpassing oneself. And when, on that beach in Saint-Tropez, she was faced with a moment of danger and risk, an opportunity to turn away or to do good, she committed the full measure of devotion to her ideals. What is better, to live as a coward or die as a hero, to fall woefully short of what you know to be right or to fall in the line of duty? And which is more natural, to refuse a call from your fellow humans or to dive in bravely and help them when they need you? Stillness is not an excuse to withdraw from the affairs of the world. Quite the opposite. It's a tool to let you do more good for more people. Neither the Buddhists nor the Stoics believed in what has come to be called original sin, that we are a fallen and flawed and broken species. On the contrary, they believe we were born to do good. To them, the phrase be natural was the same as do the right thing. For Aristotle, virtue wasn't something contained in the soul. It was how we lived. It was what we did. He called it eudaimonia, human flourishing. A person who makes selfish choices or acts contrary to their conscience will never be at peace. A person who sits back while others suffer or struggle will never feel good or feel that they have enough, no matter how much they accomplish or how impressive their reputation may be. A person who does good regularly will feel good. A person who contributes to their community will feel like they are a part of one. A person who puts their body to good use, volunteering, protecting, serving, standing up for, will not need to treat it like an amusement park to get some thrills. Virtue is not an abstract notion. We are not clearing our minds and separating the essential from the inessential for the purposes of a parlor trick. Nor are we improving ourselves so that we can get richer or more powerful. We are doing it to live better and be better. Every person we meet in every situation we find ourselves in is an opportunity to prove that. It's the old Boy Scout motto. Do a good turn daily. Some good turns are big, like saving a life or protecting the environment, but good turns can also be small, scouts are taught, like a thoughtful gesture, mowing a neighbor's lawn, calling 911 when you see something amiss, holding open a door, making friends with a new kid at school. It's the brave who do these things. It's the people who do these things who make the world worth living in. Marcus Aurelius spoke of moving from one unselfish action to another. Only there, he said, can we find delight and stillness. In the Bible, Matthew 5:6 says that those who do right will be made full by God. Too many believers seem to think that belief is enough. How many people who claim to be of this religion or that one, if caught and investigated, would be found guilty of living the tenets of love and charity and selflessness? Action is what matters. Pick up the phone and make the call to tell someone what they mean to you. Share your wealth. Run for office. Pick up the trash you see on the ground. Step in when someone is getting bullied. Step in even if you're scared, even if you might get hurt. Tell the truth. Maintain your vows. Keep your word. Stretch out a hand to someone who has fallen. Do the hard, good deeds. You must do the thing you cannot do, Eleanor Roosevelt said. It will be scary. It will not always be easy, but know that what on the other side of goodness is true stillness. Think of Dorothy Day and indeed many other less famous Catholic nuns who worked themselves to the bone helping other people. While they may have lacked for physical possessions and wealth, they found great comfort in seeing the shelters they had provided and the self-respect they had restored for people whom society had cast aside. Let us compare that to the anxiety of the helicopter parents who think of nothing but which preschool to enroll their toddler in, or the embezzling business partner who is just one audit away from getting caught. Compare that to the nagging insecurity we feel knowing that we are not living the way we should or that we are not doing enough for other people. If you see fraud and do not say fraud, the philosopher Nassim Taleb has said, you are a fraud. Worse, you will feel like a fraud and you will never feel proud or happy or confident. Will we fall short of our own standards? Yes. When this happens, we do not need to whip ourselves as Clemens did. We must simply let it instruct and teach us, as all injuries do. That's why 12-step groups ask their members to be of service as part of their recovery, not because good deeds can undo the past, but because they help us get out of our heads and in the process help write the script for a better future. If we want to be good and feel good, we have to do good. There is no escaping this. Dive in when you hear the cry for help. Reach out when you see the need. Do kindness where you can, because you'll have to find a way to live with yourself if you don't. And look, I'm reading this to you in part because of what's happening in the world right now. People are rioting and looting in the streets and destroying businesses and hurting people. And that's not okay. And at the same time, though, what other people are protesting in those same streets, the status quo they are fed up with, that they are objecting to, is worse almost beyond imagination. For a society to allow people to be cast aside, to be exploited, to be persecuted, to be victims of brutality and oppression. When you watch that video of George Floyd on the street begging for air, begging for his mother, if that doesn't hit you somewhere deeply central, you are not understanding what Stoicism is about. And if you hear me say that right now and your first objection is to equivocate, to draw distinctions, to try to point out other things like black on black crime or how many people were killed in Chicago at the same period or whatever, you're missing the fucking point. The point is that that is really wrong. And that it has been going on for a long time, and it hasn't been central enough in the discussions we've been having. We haven't been doing enough about it. And because of that, we are complicit in the extreme and the unacceptable examples of that that have been manifested in front of us in video in recent weeks. So what the Stoics would call for us in this moment is bravery, is compassion, is a sense of service and obligation to the whole, and to make sure these things do not happen anymore. So thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next week. If you like the podcast that we do here and you want to get it via email every morning, you can sign up at dailystoic.com/email. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Okay, so if you had a time machine, how far in time would you need to go back to be a dominant basketball player of that era?
I need to go to when Bob Cousy was playing.
Back in the plumber days?
27-year-old Shea would give Bob Cousy the f***ing business. He's not guarding me.
Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano, and we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shay and I are combing through all of the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling ones, and then handing out 6 pop culture-themed trophies for 6 basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. Follow 6 Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to 6 Trophies ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.